T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Well, Kim Mulkey getting the Washington Post in the crosshairs. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff, we didn't know that apparently the Washington Post is working on a story right about Kim Mulkey. Now, this is the LSU head coach, fiery coach, just like we'd expect. She's definitely, had some, run-ins, but she's definitely had some controversy with former players, including Brittany Griner. But Griner wrote about this in her book, right? It's been open. It's been out there. We have no idea what's going to be in this Washington Post story. Here's Mulkey, though, who took 4 minutes out of her press conference after LSU's first round win to go after the newspaper.
This reporter has been working on a story about me for 2 years. After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacts LSU on Tuesday as we were getting ready for the first round game of this tournament with more than a dozen questions, demanding a response by Thursday, right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me?
Okay, so 2 years, this reporter, Ken Babb, is the reporter from the Washington Post. Apparently has been trying to write a story about Kim Mulkey, and then it is generally, Perloff, you and I worked in this industry, so we know it is standard that you would send questions for someone to go on the record and defend themselves or whatever, give their side of the story before the publishing date. Now, it looks like he was trying to get her to cooperate for a long time, so the fact is there happens to be a deadline as you get closer to publishing. There you go. Here's more from Mulkey. Says she will sue the Washington Post if this story defames her.
I'm fed up, and I'm not going to let the Washington Post attack this university, this awesome team of young women I have, or me without a fight. I've hired the best defamation law firm in the country, and I will sue the Washington Post if they publish a false story about me.
Okay, well, here's the thing about defamation. You can't prove it if the things are true. So, obviously, I don't think the Washington Post is going into this trying to print falsehoods now, but she said they're granting people anonymity to talk about her, without fear of reprisal or whatever. And so that is, but again, if they say things that can be corroborated by multiple sources, then you're not going to be able to prove defamation. Here's the thing about this. I don't like it. I don't like it from Mulkey. We have no idea what's in the story. And you just took 4 minutes to make this about you. You know, it's about your players at this point in the tournament. And we know she loves the spotlight, the outfits, and all of that. But why you would bring more attention to this, I get you want to defend yourself. Wait till the piece comes out. And then if you want to defend yourself, do it. I hate the fact that she brought this on herself and, well, herself, I don't care, but about the teammates. It should be about these young women at this part of the tournament, not about Kim Mulkey's reputation.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, it seems to be having a positive effect in the sense that LSU seems like one of those teams who circles the wagons. And I know that Angel Reese, their star, is very tight with Kim Mulkey. You saw that. They were trailing yesterday or whatever they played, and they rallied. And
Middle
it seems
Tennessee,
like,
yeah.
There's like a lot of energy around that team, us against them. So it's funny. This team is one team where this could actually work, where they might get fired up to back up their coach.
Okay, but if you feel like you're a coach and you need this to be the us against them, you don't have another thing you can go to?
That was their thing last year, and it led them all the way to a title.
Okay, but it feels kind of cheap. Because, you're going out there claiming these big things. I'm going to sue the Washington Post. First of all, again, let's see what's here. and you're making it about you. I mean, you don't have another motivational tactic that you, if this indeed is that, right, to get everyone to circle the wagons and to get everyone behind her, like, how about your coaching gets your players behind you? Not having to take on the media. It's so tired.
I see what you're saying. I don't think it's a intentional strategy here. I think she is defending herself. But the thing about Kim Mulkey is that's kind of what you get, right? You get a very out there person already. So don't you expect her to act like this? That's the thing. And it's worked in the past. She's won multiple national titles.
Sure.
She's obviously
she's
a very good coach.
Yep.
I think it's, I'm not defending her by any means, and I have no idea what's in the story, and I can't wait to read it just like everyone else. But this seems to be the way Kim Mulkey operates, and everyone, her players love her.
Yep.
And she kind of has these people outside the program who don't like her, and it's worked for them in the past. And LSU's coming into this as a three seed. No one's really talking about them as a potential champion. Maybe this rallies them to some extent. And I could see the story being terrible and the team playing harder for their coach. I mean, that's plausible, won't you admit?
I'll be honest. I mean, I didn't think much of the story. So I saw Pat Forty tweeted out over the weekend, it looks like the Washington Post is working on a big story on Kim Mulkey, right? So that one reporter kind of tipped off that this story was coming. No one ever knew that this was coming. And I think everyone is kind of willing. Listen, we're sports fans. I do think we are willing to say, hey, we'll still watch this. We can watch this product. We can, you know, root for the woman on the team. You can even root for Mulkey. Let's see what happens. Let's give them. I do think at some points we do give, a benefit of the doubt to Kim Mulkey. I'm just saying we would have waited for the piece to come out before anyone made a comment. It was her, the coach, coming out full force. She looks kind of like this sort of paranoid, I don't know. Like she looks like she is, it made it seem like the piece is, you know, going to be really, really bad. So now we're all waiting on pins and needles. She's so worried about the Washington Post, you just sold their newspapers for them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really didn't like the media, why are you trying to buy in and give them this? You can always defend yourself after the fact. And by the way, if it goes to a defamation lawsuit, this thing is going to go on for a year.
Oh.
Or more.
But that's the other thing, too. They're a major newspaper. They know what defamation lawsuits are all about. And she might have the best defamation lawyer ever. You're right. This probably won't go anywhere in court. But that being said, this is Kim Mulkey's thing.
Mm.
She's just out there. I'm just judging on the album. I'm not a Kim Mulkey expert, but it doesn't seem like she holds back in any sense. She's very, what's the word? Authentic, I guess, is a positive way to put it. But it doesn't feel like she has a capability of holding back.
Right.
I've never seen her as a holdback.
No. She's not a holdbacker. I think the other part, too, is, you know, at least publicly, some of the things that we know about Kim Mulkey that you would call, like, controversial, if you will, is, again, what happened with Brittany Griner. We're talking about Kim Mulkey goes on a four-minute tirade rant against the Washington Post because they are publishing a story about her. Which they haven't done yet. The thing about Brittany Griner, you know, Griner wrote about that in her book. You know, this is something where she told Kim Mulkey that she was gay, and Kim Mulkey said she totally understood that and accepted her for it, but Baylor has some bylaws because they are such a religious institution that forbids this. And Brittany alleges, that Kim Mulkey told her to keep her sexuality quiet and to keep it hidden because it could hurt Baylor in recruiting and other things. And Brittany Griner took a huge exception with that. She wanted to be herself. She wanted to be out. She wanted to be proud about it. And she felt like the coach didn't have her back. Then Brittany Griner gets into the situation where she's detained in a Russian prison at the start of the war with Ukraine. And Kim Mulkey never offered any kind of support or anything. Now, Brittany Griner's I believe she already got her jersey retired at Baylor, so I think the school and the player have mended the fences, obviously, but clearly there's a lot of bad blood. Again, we know about this, though. It's been written about. It's been asked about. So whatever's in this story, if Kim Mulkey is going to come out with this full throttle defense, you have to imagine it's something different than what we already know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be recruiting violations. It's got to be something serious. I would almost say, I get the sense it'll be something criminal related or adjacent. Can't just be a basketball story.
It might be. Who knows?
That she's verbally abusive as a coach. I mean, listen, that's old school coaching style. We were all around for Bobby Knight, who was as verbally abusive as they came, and eventually it wore out. I'm curious which direction this story goes. You're absolutely right about one thing. Everybody wants to read this Washington Post story now.
Right.
But the Washington Post and Kim Mulkey, you can't, there's obviously going to be political undertones. She was she got kind of political during the pandemic, and the Washington Post is quite a political paper. So the two of those, you're going to have an undertone of that, which is funny. This is Caitlin Clark's tournament. And once again, LSU is stealing the headlines. I think this story could become the story of the tournament, which is a shame because we want to see a basketball. But Kim Mulkey, what she said definitely elevated the story. No matter what's in here now, when it comes out, it's going to be what everyone's talking about.
Yeah. This is why it's like, you know, Kim Mulkey said, like, you know, this is why people don't like the media, like, you know, because she thinks this is going to be a hatchet job. It's like, no, this is where famous people need other people around them to tell them, don't do this. Don't spend 4 minutes. She came in with the notes and all of that. It's just the total wrong strategy, in my opinion, that she should have done, because she just put a cloud over her team. Let's just see. The story didn't even come out yet. You know, it was supposed to come out last week or whatever, or maybe early this week. We'll see what happens, but it's not there yet. 855-212-4CBS. Make it about your players. You know, not about your legacy, where you're a multi-time champion, Hall of Fame, all that stuff.
I hear you, but when you dress like that, it's obviously going to be a little bit about you, too. And not to mention, I like the fact that her assistants are now dressing like that, too.
Everyone's dressing like she's kind of like she's got like a cult following, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and the funny thing is she has receipts, too. That's why we're taking this seriously. If she wasn't a championship winning coach, it wouldn't matter. This is fascinating. We want to see LSU and Iowa face each other in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Talking about, we've been talking a lot about TV ratings in the men's and women's tournament. That would be a big rating. If the story comes out and they're facing Iowa at a rematch of last year's title game, that would be a very interesting game.
You think?
Yeah.
Would that get a higher rating than any early Easily. Round for the men's side until we get to the Final Four?
I'll make a show, but that will beat any men's game, including the title game, by 5 million. It'll get 15 to 20 million. Last year's game got 10.5 million, I think, was way more than the men's championship. And I think it'd be like a football game.
Wait, didn't we do this last week?
Talk
about the ratings.
Well, look, the men, we didn't have the full ratings, but the men's tournament so far has been the most watched tournament ever. So I think we might have to pump the brakes on these.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, what was last year? Oh, if LSU plays Iowa, you think that the men's final will get more eyeballs?
I'm saying right now, what I said was this has been the most watched men's tournament. Yeah. And I think when this ratings come off of the women, I don't think we're going to see what Caitlin Clark said earlier in the show, which is that people are more interested in the women's tournament than the men's, at least not in the first two rounds.
Okay.
I don't know what happens in the Final Four, but I think that the demise of the men's tournament was greatly exaggerated.
Show bet, though. Iowa playing LSU, I think, would do a bigger number than any
game. Do you think it has anything to do with what's in this Washington Post
piece? Oh, my God. You're going to have the Washington Post story come out, and it's the rematch of that was one of the number one stories, Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark last year. Yeah, I think. And that, by the way, the men's rating could be really good. I think this rating is going to be gigantic, like a Duke in a final game kind of rating.
We'll get to
I could be wrong, but I think, who would not tune in to see this game?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to the men's side in a moment because of, the idea that we were going to have FAU in the Final Four from now till the end of time. And I don't mean to pick on FAU. San Diego State's still in it. But the Blue Bloods have shown up.
Yeah, because now they're basically mid-majors with a bunch of old non-NBA players.
855-212-4CBS. Kim Mulkey, in the right or in the wrong, to try to get in front of whatever's in this Washington Post story. Do you like the fact that she came out and started to defend herself, or do you think that she should have waited for the piece to come out before she drew more attention to the piece? Now we're all waiting. What's in it?
It's weird because on the one hand, I think that this is an unfortunate distraction from the women's tournament for sure, because the play on the court is enough to bring people hooked. Again, there's a lot of great play happening.
Yeah.
But we all love villains, as we talked about last week on the show when we had our great debate on who's the greatest villains of college basketball. And, I mean, we came into this tournament. I know a lot of people already probably didn't love LSU because of Kim Mulkey. But, I mean, you really want to create a heel for this tournament? I mean, this has been they wore that black hat once again when Mulkey came out with that statement. Is there any way that that actually helps the tournament?
Well, helps the tournament? All right. I know Perloff thinks 100%. It helps LSU.
No, it 100% helps the ratings. If you're looking for ratings, yes, of course this helps the tournament.
It does.
Right, the bad guy, as you mentioned.
Right.
But let's see what's in the piece.
And by the way, she's not a bad guy to a lot of people, too.
No,
there are
she's
a lot
not.
Of people are on her side who think there are a lot of people who don't like the media right now. You can't avoid that.
Oh, fact. I get that. But I guess it's more the, what DJ say, the villain. It's like the defiant one. You know, it doesn't. Yeah. No matter you could love that. You could love how defiant she is, but she's definitely just came and brought a flamethrower.
Yeah, yeah.
To this whole thing. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on that. Coming up, it's more than just basketball going on around here when it comes to March Madness. We've got that in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Discussing the upcoming Washington Post story on LSU coach Kim Mulkey. So Pat Forty tweeted it this weekend that Washington Post was working on a piece on Kim Mulkey and that LSU was circling the wagons, trying to contain it already. So now Kim Mulkey seems to have made what is possibly an interesting story into the story of the women's tournament. Maybe, well, Caitlin Clark is still the story, but this is right behind it. I think it's just picking momentum. Maggie, you had a good point. I'm not sure Kim Mulkey achieved what she wanted to here.
No, she goes out and rails against the story preemptively, and now everyone is even that much more curious about what could be in the story. This is going to be one of the highest read stories probably for the year for the Washington Post. So if you don't like this reporter, congratulations. You probably got him some kind of bonus. I mean, I don't know how their salary structure works, but you know what I'm saying. Tim is in San Diego, has a thought on it. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Maggie. Good morning, Perloff. I don't follow female college basketball. I've never even heard of Kim Mulkey, but like just to prove your point, Maggie, now I'm definitely going to read this story with the Washington Post, and I probably would have never even read it if she didn't get ahead of it. And just broadcast it and advertise it.
I tell you, are she and Kent Babb writing a book together? I mean, this would be the all-time work, you know, WWE style. Tim, thank you for the call. If somehow they're actually working together behind the scenes. I don't think so, but man, would that be something.
That being said, by the way, it's a Washington Post. I hope clicks is not their metric.
No, clicks aren't the metric.
Yeah, it's not BuzzFeed.
No, it's not. I know they're not aggregating, you know, doing top 10 lists and stuff like that. But that it's going to drive significant traffic. I mean, if you have someone like Tim who just called in and wants to read it, he's going to have to sign up for a subscription to do that. So,
it's,
you know.
It's kind of sad that we're saying talking about Washington Post driving traffic like it's some mom-pa website.
No, but it's interesting. I think you're going to get a lot of people who may not subscribe.
Well, I think that's what the critics are going to say is, oh, you're going after, you know, you're doing this because you're getting attention.
I know, but what I would push back on that is say she's a public figure who's been coaching for 20 years. Of course, you know, people might dig around in her public record.
And they just happen to be releasing this story when LSU's about to face off with Caitlin Clark. It's obviously Washington Post. It's a business. They have to do it like this.
Yeah.
It does seem that is going to be the criticism. Oh, you put this out right before the Iowa game, if that's what happens.
No doubt. I mean, yes, if you do this in the middle of the summer, does it get the eyeballs? It depends what's in the story.
It could get the Pulitzer, but this is going to be ultimate. You know, they're doing, it's intentional, obviously, to let that out, which makes sense.
No, the timing is intentional for sure. Yeah. But the other part is, we got to see what's in the story. You know, is it one of those stories that could have been written any time of year and it would have become front page news? Or is it going to be, we don't know. We have no idea. But now everyone's way more interested because Kim Mulkey went on a diatribe for 4 minutes saying how the Washington Post is out to get her.
Yeah. And also, too, I think the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark thing is not that long ago. That was last year. Yep. And to see them play each other, I think it'd be also just a pure basketball. This could be a great tournament run. I can't wait to see that game. I would love to see LSU's a 3 seed. I mean, do we even know who win that? It doesn't feel, I know Iowa's a 1 seed, but it doesn't feel, that'd be a tough challenge to win this game again. Man, this could be, this to me is going to blow away everything else. I think this game is going to be the game. This story combined with Caitlin Clark, I mean, look at what we started the show talking about my silly Caitlin Clark tweet turned into a national phenomenon.
I mean,
that's
you
Andrew
went viral.
Perloff.
There's like,
yeah. That's Andrew Perloff and Caitlin Clark because I said that there was no flagrant foul.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Angel Reese, Kim Mulkey, Caitlin Clark? That is a recipe for gigantic attention.
I mean, also, there's going viral, then there's what you did. I mean, I think going viral now is what, a million views?
No.
You're 17 million views right now.
Well, reality, it's once you get into the For You algorithm, that you could get 17 million by sneezing. I've seen.
I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder. Rex Chapman, our buddy, who was on the show last week, tweeted this. He was not very kind about it, I might say.
Yeah, he definitely had an issue with your tweet.
Yeah, so... But
he basically just said, Andrew, come on.
But it's a reflection of Caitlin Clark. If this was some random game on the men's or women's side, say it was the Creighton game, there's no 17 million. It's Caitlin Clark, which is... That's why I'm telling you, this is going to be not Super Bowl ratings. If LSU and Kim Mulkey face Caitlin Clark, it'll be the highest rated game, women's game of all time. Can we agree on that?
I'll give you that. But you said it'd be higher rated than the men's Final Four and championship game.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I don't even think it's going to be close. I mean, what?
It's possible you have UNC and Duke in the final game. You don't think that would be massive?
I mean, that's a huge leap. We've gone through two rounds.
One's a one seed and one's a four seed. And Duke is destroying teams.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's UNC and Duke, it's one thing. But it's going to be UConn, isn't it?
I mean, UConn looks great, but North Carolina looks great. Still got a lot of basketball to play. Meanwhile,
it could be North Carolina Duke. Okay, I'll bet
you. I'm just saying they're on opposite sides of the bracket. Like, it could happen.
Yeah, that's a pretty big could. I will bet you, show bet, and I don't know if these ratings, that if LSU plays Iowa, which is still an if,
right,
that is higher rated
than any game on the men's side.
Than any game on the men's side.
That's an Elite Eight game, by the way, for the audience as well. It won't be a Final Four or a national championship game.
Yeah.
I'll take that bet.
I think that, again, the women's game's been awesome, but I think there was a lot of narratives that were crushed about where the men's and women's game compares to in terms of eyeballs. That I can't say that for sure, that an Elite Eight game is gonna beat a national title game. You said early by 5 million. There's no way that's happening.
No, I'll take that bet against you, Perloff. I think the men's game is still going to outrate the women's game. But yes, it's going to be massive if Iowa and LSU meet, but I think the men's game is still going to beat it.
Last year, Iowa...
Which is not a knock on the women's game, by the way. You know, I don't think that's a negative. I just think you still have so many big programs left on the men's side. This is not like last year. We've got all four number one seeds. We've got all four number two seeds. Half the number threes in Duke still here, plus EJ's Gonzaga Bulldogs. You have a lot of name brands.
Okay, so you guys are right in one sense. Last year's men's final got 14 million, which is like the lowest in a long, long time. But the Iowa game got 9.9 million. I just think that number has gone up. There's so much more attention on Caitlin Clark now. I think those ratings are going to increase. And I don't think UConn is a big... UConn's definitely not a big draw. I mean, they're not Duke. If you get Duke of North Carolina, all bets are off. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be UConn and, I don't know, Houston. If it's UConn-Houston, I will take Iowa to outrate them. I want to do a bet. Let's do it.
Okay.
Dumbest bet ever. TV ratings aren't even important.
Aren't even real. But sure, I'll take that bet for you. Okay, so while we are talking about actual basketball, we do have to get to the Maggie and Perloff bracket of one-hit wonders, Perloff, because we are on to the Sweet 16 in the Maggie and Perloff bracket. Are you ready for some results and
yes,
from some matchups going into the Sweet 16? Guys, we're ready too? All right, let's do it. It was the upset of the first round. It was the 16 seed, Tainted Love Moves On. Once I ran to you, now I'll run from you. This tainted love you've given, I give you all a boy could give you. Take my tears and that's not nearly all. Tainted love. Okay. There we go. Tainted Love goes up against 8th-seeded Macarena.
And when he left to sign up for the Army, she was giving it away to his two friends. Give a little love into your body, Macarena, because your body's made for love and feeling good. It's a no-brainer. Give a little love into your body, Macarena. Hey, Macarena.
Hey.
Yeah, sounds just like the original. That was Peter Schwartz doing the Macarena. I'm sorry, we're not onto the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
We are through the first round,
this
pardon
is a
me.
Pretty big 1-8 matchup because Macarena's got a lot of name recognition. We've all danced the Macarena.
Yes, we have. So I'm sorry, this is round two. I jumped the gun a little bit. We're not to the Sweet 16. So Tainted Love against Macarena. Going up next up in the weddings region of the Maggie and Perloff one-hit wonder bracket, 5th-seeded Jump Around. I came to get down, so get down to your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up and get down. Jump, 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 Okay, fifth seed jump around coming up against fourth seeded Ice Ice Baby.
You better gang way. You better hit the bullseyes. The kid don't play and there's a problem. Yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. Ice Ice Baby.
Yes, we're not sure if EJ's ever heard Ice Ice Baby before. He had to sing it on Friday. Just take our word for it. Well, Ice Ice Baby did advance.
It might just be a bad song, too. That is possible in EJ's defense.
Likely.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with whether it's bad or not. That was atrocious. Again, EJ, many talents. Singing Ice Ice Baby, not one of them. 11-seeded Funky Town gets through. Okay, they go up against third seeded. Whoop, there it is. Thank you, DJ Pete Pilotti. We are going through round two of our bracket of one hit wonders. This is the weddings region. Finally, seven seeded. Teach Me How to Dougie.
Teach me how to Dougie. Teach me how to duck, teach me, teach me how to duck, duck.
Everybody love me, everybody love me, everybody love me. You ain't messing with my duck.
Teach me how to duck, teach me, teach me how to duck, duck. Teach me how to duck, teach me, teach me how to duck, duck.
Everybody love me, everybody love me.
Okay, and Teach Me How to Dougie will face off against the 15 seed, another big upset from the first round. Pump Up the Jam moves on. Okay, there you have it. So this is the second round we're on to already. Wow, time flies. We're on to the second round of the Maggie and Perloff One Hit Wonder.
Yeah, feels like it's been around a long time.
We didn't listen to these songs for a while.
I was in the car this weekend, and my wife and I put on 80s One Hit Wonders playlist.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all we've been doing now. Because these songs were stuck in my head, and it's so much fun. Big debate. Wang Chung, did they have more than one hit? Apparently so, because my wife's like, how come Wang Chung's not on this list?
Oh, everyone Wang Chung tonight?
Everyone Wang Chung tonight.
Was by a band called Wang Chung?
I think so.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know. I never knew.
But they had another number one hit, Dance Hall Dance.
That's right.
So, yeah. Wang Chung, by the way, great movie song. So this was my weekend.
Wow. That and going viral off of Caitlin Clark. And 17 million views on Perloff saying Caitlin Clark should not have gotten a flagrant foul or intentional foul, pardon me, when she got hit in the face against Holy Cross. Okay, so you can go to our social at Maggie and Pearl. You can vote now. Round two, the weddings region. Go ahead. Who do we think advances from this?
Well, yeah, I think Funky Town has a lot of name recognition. Everyone knows that song, and not a single person knows who wrote it or sang it. I don't think you said it. I have no idea.
Lips Inc.
Yeah, I think Funky Town is a strong contender. I'm realizing in this bracket, name recognition is a big deal. Like you know the song, but you might not know what it's called.
That's a major, major criteria of a one-hit wonder is not exactly knowing what the name of the song is.
Yes.
Definitely. Andrew Bogish has headlines. Good morning.
Good morning. And it appears the song is called Everybody Have Fun Tonight by Wang Chung.
Oh, Everybody Wang Chung Tonight.
Yeah, there's just a line in the song. But Wang...
What do you think they're talking about?
There's an explanation of that as well.
I'm just kidding.
This feels like a Cheers joke where Fraser Crane sings the lyrics to Wang Chung and when... viral 1992 style. Anyway,
what does that mean? How do you go viral in 92?
Wang Chung's been in several TV shows and movies.
Yeah.
They're a great band. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Across the nation, around the world. Everybody have fun tonight.
Bilotti knows what I'm talking about.
Of course he does. Yes. Is that the company you want to keep, though?
Bilotti said this is like his Spotify playlist.
Yeah.
One Hit Wonders.
Including the Schwartz version of the
Yeah. That's now in heavy rotation.
The Purdue men had no real issues yesterday in round two. They thumped Utah State 106-67 and their fans in their seats when the game tipped off. That wasn't the case on Friday when the afternoon session in Indy ran long. The arena had to be cleaned, reset before the night crowd was allowed in, so Boilermaker fans late getting to those seats for the Grambling State Showdown. This was head coach Matt Painter postgame.
It was great, especially when they got into the stands. Like, you know, you're starting a game and people are filing in. Like, it's kind of surreal, right? Like, you know, you would think you start a game and, you know, everyone's going to be there. It's like a major city crowd, right? Like going to L.A. to an event, or people show up by the fourth inning.
I guess people...
What is he, the homeroom teacher? What are you talking about?
Yeah, and I've seen this a bazillion times covering tennis when the day session goes long and the night session, and you can see people waiting, but they got to clean, they got to restock. Like, this is a weird complaint. Like, you should just... This happens. Like, deal with it. And you're playing Grambling. It was okay.
Yeah, I don't know. This is an odd one. Again, he feels like he's sort of like wagging the finger at the fans.
But the NCAA's got to figure this out, though, because this was not the only game where you're starting a game coming into the night session and there's nobody in the crowd. I mean, I think he was a little sensitive because it wasn't basically a home game. I mean, Indianapolis, West Lafayette, like, they worked hard to get this home court advantage, and you can't get the people in the building. There were great pictures of, like, literally, it looked like a mob of people standing outside the arena being like, hey, they're not letting us in. I know it's a lot of the TV people, which is their fault because they don't schedule this correctly, but I do think they got to figure something out. It should not be where there's no one in the stands for the one seed beginning their quest to hopefully to a Final Four.
I know, but this literally falls on deaf ears now because you're not going to have that issue anymore.
Right? Yeah, but you're going to have the issue next year. And there's going to be more coaches will complain next year again, and we're going to hear it probably every year.
But isn't the problem that Colorado and Florida played that ridiculous, like, 102-100 game before them on Friday?
Right, but that was not the only game, because I saw people complaining about other games where they were not able to file the people in for the second session. So it wasn't just that game. And again, it just comes down to, like, you should – the night games, I believe, are set kind of, like, not in stone per se, but they are. So they're set in stone. So there is no, well, this game went late, so let's amend the schedule to make it work. We can get the people in. Maybe it should be more amendable, just like the first weekend games are. The second game in the region should be amendable, where you say, hey, okay, we're late. We're going to hold the game back so we get the crowd in.
You and Matt Painter.
I don't know why it can't be amendable. I don't get that whole thing.
Well, because if you delay the first game, then the second coach will complain about tipping off after 10 o'clock local time.
All right, get lost. All right, really, you're playing...
So pick whose complaints you want to hear more.
Play at 10 o'clock. It's not like you guys don't stay up at 10 o'clock. It's not like you have a bedtime at 10 o'clock. All right, so play the game when it's on the schedule. You 64 teams in a tournament. All right?
You guys want 100. Play it all night. You tip off at 2 a.m.
I'd rather have less teams than have teams complaining about their start times. Get lost.
You know what? Can I take the attention off here for me? I hated that there were no afternoon games yesterday. They all played at night.
Me too. I hate this schedule.
What the heck?
I dislike the schedule too.
They should have scaled the games back towards the afternoon.
Also, like, does the NFL teach people nothing?
Yeah,
like, we just want them to start. We want them to start early. Let's go, because you had two games on Saturday and Sunday if you were just on the men's side, not watching the women's side, and they were not games.
Exactly.
They were blowouts, so what are we watching?
What was weird, too, though, is that, like, some of the time differences didn't seem to make sense. Like, Gonzaga and Arizona, who won, they're playing early afternoon games. They're in Salt Lake City. Those were, like, 11 a.m. starts for Arizona local time. And shout out to the people in Salt Lake City. They got there. Spokane also had a lot of early games, and the crowd was there. Spokane was awesome. But, like, why are those West Coast teams starting the day off with the games when you should probably be starting with the East region teams? I don't really get that.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It also drives me nuts, too, that, like, when you're at one of these events and you want to ask a question of a player, they're student athletes, and the NCAA will yell at you for that, for not calling them that. And then they've got Yale playing at 9:45 Eastern tip across the country because they're scholar athletes. And they don't need to go to class today.
Yeah.
Like, nothing says we care less about school than playing a late night Sunday tip in the NCAA tournament. Where you've got no chance of going to class on Monday.
I heard someone yesterday was talking about the team from Yale. They were previewing the game. And it was a friend of mine, and they do an awesome job. Like, can you believe that Yale's leading scorer already has an internship lined up on Wall Street for the summer? It's like, yes, that is the most believable thing I've ever heard about this tournament. Who do you think is working on Wall Street? A lot of Ivy League athletes, like former athletes.
The news would be if he was still on LinkedIn looking for an internship.
Yeah, he hadn't gotten one yet.
Right. No, somebody help poor August Mahoney out.
Yeah, no, this dude's going to get the internship. Like, it's like, yeah, wow, can you believe he's going to go work at J.P. Morgan? Like, yes.
Well, I mean, he's competing with several Ivy League lacrosse programs. 80% of Wall Street is lacrosse players.
Really cutthroat.
Back to the hoops yesterday. South number one, Houston, barely surviving round two, leading 81-69 late in regulation, but having to go to overtime to beat Texas A&M 195. Jamal Shedd had 21 points and 10 assists. UConn, Duke, San Diego State all winning easily yesterday. Alabama fought off Grand Canyon 72-61 in a 4-12 game in the West bracket. And number six, Clemson, sent third-seeded Baylor home 72-64. The Tigers in the Sweet 16 for just the second time in Brad Brownell's 14 seasons as head coach. From the women's bracket last night, Stanford star Cameron Brink fouled out, but her second-seeded Cardinal fought off Iowa State in overtime 87-81. There's coaching news from yesterday as well. Michigan officially hiring FAU's Dusty May, and West Virginia set to bring in Drake's Darian DeVries, and he's expected to bring his high-scoring son Tucker with him to Morgantown. And then there are the pros.
Behind the back pass out to Middleton with two to shoot. A 30-foot three. Back rim miss. Long rebound out to Patrick Beverly, though. And a reset out to Lillard. Left side three is good by Damian Lillard. 25-point lead again. 98-73. Damian Lillard has hit a couple from long range here in this fourth quarter.
That's Bucks Radio. Lillard putting the finishing touches on a 118-93 rout of Chet Holmgren of the Thunder. Giannis had 30 points and 19 boards. New Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo said yesterday QB is a priority for the organization, but they are open to anything, including a trade at number three in the draft next month. Tyler Adams, Gio Reyna scored as the U.S. beat Mexico 2-0 in Dallas to win the Nations League crown for the third time in a row. Guys, back to you.
Oh, man, I cannot wait. If Jacoby Brissett is going to be the Patriots quarterback next year, that's going to be an electric team. No receivers, a bridge quarterback with nobody behind him on the bridge. This is going to be the draft story if New England does not take a quarterback at three.
The receiving core is looking up, okay? Because I don't know if you saw yesterday, they're selling Devontae Parker's jersey literally for nothing. There was a photo out on Twitter where someone went to a shop in Boston, and Devontae Parker's jersey was there. Literally said 0.00 cost.
You just walk out with it.
So you can just take it. It was free.
Do you even get a receipt for that?
It's a great question. I don't know. I've never seen that before. So look, if you had a receiving corps before where they're selling jerseys for nothing, yeah, I think they can do maybe a little better this year.
They were actually even printing Devontae Parker jerseys?
Couldn't believe it myself.
They got KJ Osborne. I just think with Jacoby Brissett, didn't we see this 10 years ago?
And like 5 years ago and 3 years ago. What's the tax? Could you pay taxes on a free jersey? You have to give him like 8 cents on your way out the door?
Maybe.
How does that work?
Yeah, well, that'd be funny.
Yeah,
I don't know. Could try to return it? Like, I'm sorry, I'd like to exchange
that. Store credit.
Sorry, I thought he was still on the team. My bad.
Oh, man. Bogus, thank you.
Did you secretly just try and sell us KJ Osborne there?
I'm just telling you.
Mister, I accidentally took him in my fantasy draft. No, they have Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas. Juju will be back. KJ Osborne, Jalen Reagor. I mean, this is wild.
Can you imagine if they actually don't take a quarterback? How silly are they going to look?
I mean,
even if he's not good, why would you do that?
Because look who he's throwing to. You are setting up some poor dude for a complete failure.
Okay, so if you take Marvin Harrison, who is he catching passes from?
You got to trade down.
Robert Kraft's got a lot to answer for. Like, he's, you know, Gerard Mayo went on that first press conference and said, we got money to spend, or money to burn, rather, and they have nothing to show for it.
Well, they made a couple mistakes. First off, he basically said they were going to draft a quarterback when he was also doing that introductory press conference. Turns out that's not true. Then they're like, we got money to burn. We haven't seen them do anything. I don't think it's as appealing a place to play. And I don't know if it would have been with Belichick still there either. So this is not a criticism on Gerard Mayo per se, but this is life without two, you know, what life is like after two Hall of Famers.
Well, it got bad last year with one of those Hall of Famers there. Teams rebuild. I mean, that's a reality. But do they have time to rebuild? Well, this should take five years.
Why wouldn't you take a quarterback? That's what I don't understand. Unless you really don't like this evaluation on Drake May or Jaden Daniels, okay. But just to pass on them to try to play the game of the trade Bryce back
Young.
And all that?
It's all Bryce Young. They just do not. And so the guy, their GM, Elliot Wolf, has seen this before where if you draft a guy and you don't have weapons for him, it could go very badly.
Bryce Young has some other things working against him, though.
Yeah, but receiving core has got to be the number one thing. And nobody, I don't care, Caleb Williams combined with Lamar Jackson is not going to work in Carolina.
Okay, let's put a pin in that for a second. Let's get back to that conversation in just moments. We will do that, get to the Patriots. Coming up, though, we do have Perloff's draft rumor of the day. This is going to be one of our new segments leading up to the draft because you love draft rumors.
Yeah, and by when you say rumor, that means not a fact, a rumor.
Yeah.
Sort of a large span of things to say there.
Okay. It's not like Kim Mulkey. When you get in defensive before we haven't even done it yet.
I'm just saying, he
wanted Caitlin Maugh back on him.
It's lying season, so I am going to feel free to share something that may or may not be true about the draft.
We want to hear all of it. 855-212-4CBS. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back on Maggie and Perloff. You know what time it is, Maggie. It's Perloff draft rumor time. And when we say draft rumor, that means something that may or may not be fact. Because draft season is lying season in the NFL. Heard this from Mel Kiper over the weekend. Mel Kiper sees a perfect fit for a quarterback and a first-round team. The Denver Broncos right now have Jarrett Stidham starting. So a lot of people think they'll draft a quarterback. He thinks that Bo Nix is the reincarnation of former Sean Payton quarterback Drew Brees. Now, there's some obvious things that are similar. Bo Nix, very accurate at Oregon, 77%. Doesn't throw picks. He has some athleticism. Brees did early, maybe not later. But he could play in the pocket. So the Broncos sit at number 12, and they probably would take a quarterback in the first round because they don't have a second-round pick. So they can't risk Nix falling down there. Now, here's the reason I completely buy this.
Okay.
Apparently, Bo Nix and Drew Brees have the same exact hand size, according to Kiper. 10 1/8.
Well, that's no rumor. That's a fact, right?
So we all know that quarterbacks go in the draft according to hand size. Kenny Pickett, small hands, did not work out. No accident. Bo Nix, Drew Brees, Sean Payton sitting there and saying, the dudes have the same hand. They're hand twins, Maggie. Hand twins is an important part of being a draft comp. I think this is going to happen. I didn't think so. I didn't think Nix was going to go that high until I heard about the hand thing with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
This is happening.
You think they can stay at 12 and still get Nix, or do you think the draft process is going to push him up a little bit?
Isn't that amazing that we're talking about this? Because Bo Nix was never thought to be a first-round pick.
Okay, but if you're getting Drew Brees, I mean, he should go number one.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I do think that there's going to be a rush on these quarterbacks. It does seem 12 seems rich for Bo Nix. He's a little older. He's 23. You know, he wasn't that good at Auburn, and then he got great at Oregon. So people are going to say, oh, it's a system. I think that you should be okay at 12
We know that it's going to go four guys in the top 10 because J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan will join Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams. Then you got the two X's, the two X factors.
Right.
Michael Penix and Bo Nix.
Right.
Get an X?
Yeah.
You see that?
Really
dad joke draft analysis?
Majorly clever.
Yeah, it's super cool. Anyway, 12 seems like 12's not that low. I mean, there are a lot of great tackles and wide receivers here. If they had to trade up for Bo Nix, I'd be shocked.
I don't know what is going on with Denver, because here's the thing. I know that their receiver corps is maybe a little bit better than the New England Patriots, who have maybe the worst, but are you also rebuilding? Like, are you shoehorning a quarterback in here, or what are we doing? Because I don't get the Broncos' strategy.
Well, you're not going to go... I actually am, of course, a big Jarrett Stidham fan, but you're not going to just start Stidham and not draft somebody. That would be... They didn't do anything really in free agency, and I think a lot of draft analysts are penciling them in at quarterback. Their receiver corps is way, way better than
New England.
They got Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, Tim Patrick's coming back.
No, you do. I guess I'm just saying, actually, just as we speak, apparently Sean Payton is at the owners' meetings right now.
Oh, yeah.
And said that they could also add a veteran quarterback.
Who?
Along with the draft. But he said that...
there's no veterans. Carson Wentz?
I don't know. Didn't say.
Yeah. I mean, do we do this thing? Is it a mistake to say, oh, Sean Payton is looking for the next Drew Brees? Is that oversimplification?
No, because they had so much success together. Yeah. And listen, we thought that Russell Wilson, I guess the smaller quarterback or whatever, and it didn't work.
I thought that too.
According to Mike Garofalo from NFL Network, Sean Payton also balked when asked if Jarrett Stidham is, quote unquote, in the driver's seat for the job, but said he'll compete. So they're not handing it to Stidham. So, yeah. Well, would you be that overt? I mean, I know Sean Payton will do what he wants and say what he wants to the media, but...
God, I wish I was at that table right now. I just say, Sean, you saw the hand size, didn't you? I mean, what are we doing here? Yeah. Just hand in the pick. It's done.
Run it up to the podium. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, belief in the top contenders in March Madness. Where are we at right now? We'll get to that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.